News Talk on demand. Interruption free audio. Where you want it, when you want it.
Is having an awesome long weekend so far. I'm Brittany Caffey here with Rick Van Dyvendyke, and we are going to be talking all things garden today. If you have a question, you can send us a text or give us a call. The number is 1-877-332-8255. How was your long weekend going so far, Rick?
It's nice. It's nice and beautiful, hot. We're past the really, really hot and muggy stuff, and It's just perfect right now.
Yeah, it's perfect right now, and it looks like it's going to stay at this nice, like, very warm but not ridiculously warm temperature mark for the next week or so. I have noticed in this heat, all the plants in my backyard, and especially my grass, are extremely, extremely thirsty.
Well, yeah, right now, everything, even the garden, the lawn, the trees, everything's just because of that heat we had. You can see the leaves kind of curled up, especially upwards a little bit. And when you see them curled up a little bit, that's when you have the problem where you can have the, where the plants are being stressed. So you have to watch for that, especially in your things like your cucumbers and your tomatoes. You want to make sure that you have those that they're just getting consistent watering. And I keep saying, you hear me say it all the time, consistent watering.
Yep.
Those vegetables don't want to go wet, dry, wet, dry, wet, dry, wet, dry. If you do that, then you'll start getting things like blossom end rot on your fruit, and you do not want that.
Yeah, you've got to get to know your plant a little bit.
Well, it's not just know your plant, know your soil.
Yeah.
That's the bigger thing. Like, you know what the moisture is like, you know, 4 to 6 inches down the ground for your garden. You know what that is. And that's the only way you can do that is by probing it. You know, sticking your finger into the soil or, you know, putting a piece of rebar because you can bring a sample up with it. Anything like that, just learning how long your soil stays moist. It's huge because a lot of people just look at the surface, and especially in the shrub bed, and you can't tell the difference, especially when you got a whole bunch of mulch down, where you have rock and fabric down. You can't tell what the soil is like from looking from the top.
Mm-hmm.
And one side of the yard, which is, you know, in the shade, and the other side of the yard, which is full sun against the fence, there are two different situations happening, so you need to learn your soil.
So in terms of grass, grass is one thing. I know it's very simple, but just in terms of exactly how much water you need to give your super dry lawn, about how long do you normally go, or is there a way to tell if you've given it enough water on any given day?
Yeah, the biggest thing, normally if you think of grass, it likes to have an average of 1 inch per week.
Okay.
And so some people will put a little dish out there and measure, you know, or rain gauge, whatever you want to do. And that way you can learn how long 1 inch of water is.
Okay.
And you don't want to put it all, you don't have to put it all at once, but you may want to put that in like 3 times during the week for a total of 1 inch. Then you'll learn, there again, you just need to learn your soil because everybody's soil is going to be a little bit different.
Perfect. All right. We have got a call from Denise in Rokenville. Good morning, Denise.
Good morning.
What's your question for Rick?
I have an apple tree that flowers beautifully. It sets the apples beautifully, and then they fall off. Like, some of them are no bigger than a marble when they fall. I think I've got 3 apples left on my tree.
Now, one of that would have happened. Is this happening every year or just happened this spring, this year?
This year was really bad, but it's been progressive.
Yeah. What will happen is that if fruits don't get pollinated properly, the temperature's not right, and we had a weird spring this year. A lot of people had frost just at the right time, the wrong time.
Uh-huh.
And then what happens is the fruit doesn't set properly, and what it'll do is it'll actually start to form the fruit, and then it'll aborting the fruit. It'll drop and it'll dry it up. So it all has to do with the spring, and that's the number one thing. And this year, I heard that comment over and over and over again, that people, not just apples, whether it be their Saskatoons or their plum trees, their apricots, pear trees, it's all the same thing. And because you're seeing that happening over such a wide variety of plants, not just one like apples, that's what's usually happening. It's environmental.
Okay.
Okay.
Just one. Real good. Thanks a lot.
Just hope for a nice spring. Next spring, you'll be okay.
Hoping so.
Okay.
Thanks, Denise. All right. We are going to head out to Wadena and chat with Helen. Good morning, Helen.
Oh, hello. Good morning. I was just wondering, is it too late to water to fertilize my burning bushes?
For the shrubs, you're still fine. I like to say you can go up until August the 15th or so for shrubs.
Okay.
Things like maples and birches and willows and even some poplars, I like stopping around, you know, July the 15th.
Okay.
But shrubs, you're still okay. You can go, but now you want to slow down. For sure you want to stop around August 15th, especially for things like roses and hydrangeas. You want to stop definitely at August 15th.
And how often can I water them?
Keep them moist, not wet, but moist up until September 1st. And after September 1st, slowly start weaning them off depending on the temperature it is in September. Mm-hmm. But get them ready for wintertime. Don't deadhead the roses anymore after September 1st. All those plants, slow down the watering. Get them prepared for wintertime. That's huge. It's important.
Okay, but for fertilizing the burning bush, can I just do it this one time, or can I do it?
Yeah. One more time right now, and then that's the last for the season.
That's the last for the year. Oh, okay. Thank you. Okay.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Helen. All right, Paul in Saskatoon. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. Rick, I'm wondering about my spaghetti squash plants.
Yes.
I have a lot that have started, and I'm punching out flowers like crazy still. Should I start pulling them off? Is there enough time to grow that fruit, or should I start pinching off a bunch of them?
The squash, you still have time with squash. They produce the fruit so quickly that you'll be okay yet for, I would say, another almost 2 weeks yet.
Oh, okay.
And then after that, then you can start pinching off. But right now, yeah, we still have squash. I mean, typically we don't... I don't like saying that word frost very often right now, especially in the middle of August, beginning of August. But typically we don't get frosts until about the middle of September.
Okay.
So with squashes, they'll produce you so quick that you're okay for a couple weeks.
Okay. Thank you very much for the info.
Awesome. Thanks, Paul. All right. If you have got a question about anything garden related, you can give us a call at 1-877-332-8255. We are going to take a quick break and we'll be back to answer all of those questions for you. I'm Brittany Caffey here with Rick Van Dyvendyke, and you are listening to Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. We have got a beautiful Sunday on the go this August long weekend. I'm Brittany Caffey here with Rick Van Dyvendyke. You're listening to Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. If you've got a question, give us a call at 1-877-332-8255. Right now, we're going to head out to Warman. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning.
What's your question for Rick?
I want to ask him about my linden tree. I've never known it to get into a fall mode this early. Like, it's totally yellow, and in fact, a lot of the leaves up top are kind of crunchy, and some are going kind of brown around the edges. And I don't remember it ever starting this early.
The linden tree, there's two things that could be happening. Number one is they're just finishing their flowering time.
Right.
If you notice the flower, they put a little yellow leaf at the end of the flower. Basically, it's called a landing strip for all the bees and everything else, okay?
Right.
And then they drop those down. Those are just the flat. That's a normal stage for the linden after they finish flowering.
Right.
Just right before they just start producing their seed.
Right.
And the other one is right now, I'm noticing with lindens, is that it's two situations. It's either too wet or too dry. And it'll do the same thing where the leaves will turn curl and turn crunchy. And all the leaves will turn yellow, other than the flowers. Just the regular leaves will turn yellow.
Right.
And that's from that condition comes from too wet or too dry. That's why it's important to probe the soil, because a lot of people, when they see that, will start watering it. And it could be actually making it more harmful.
Okay. I did, because we've had so many hot days. I was pouring the water to it.
Yep. So now what you want to do is you want to probe the soil down at least 16 inches down.
Right.
And I like using a piece of rebar because those ribs bring up a sample.
Okay.
And then check what it is. If you find that it's fairly wet where the soil really sticks to the rebar,
right,
then you want to poke a whole bunch of holes around the drip line of the tree.
Okay.
And then aerate the soil, basically.
Okay. All right. Thanks so much, Rick.
Good luck, Diane. All right. Let's head out to Macklin. Good morning, Nadine.
Good morning.
What's your question?
I had a visitor with a little puppy who...
Oh, no.
Yes, and so my back lawn has little circles of dead grass.
Okay.
So what do I do?
What you have to do with those is you basically have to take the garden hose out there and just soak those areas really well. Because it's urine is another name for urea, which is high nitrogen. It's very high in nitrogen, okay?
Yes.
It's so high of nitrogen that it burns it. But you notice on the outside of the rings, the grass is really green because the nitrogen gets diluted there and out the outside edges and actually acts as a fertilizer. So what you want to do is you want to even poke a little holes in that spot in the middle of those circles.
Yes.
And then soak it really well. And then you can eat, if they're small enough, they'll just grow back in. Or you can take some grass seed, a little bit of grass seed, and then put the grass seed in and let them in basically 5 to 7 days, you'll get little grass seed growing back up in that area again. But you have to leach out you have to dilute the urea that's there.
Oh, my goodness. I should have done that right away.
Yeah, if you see the dog peeing, go out there with the water and dilute it right away, and you won't get those spots.
Oh, for heaven's sakes.
Okay.
Oh, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Nadine. All right, Mike in Watson, good morning.
Oh, good morning. Boy, that didn't take long. Didn't have to wait as long as usual. Okay, I got two questions. One is for a friend, so I hope you don't ask me too many questions about it. But she's got kohlrabi, and it's really healthy. It has long leaves and doing really well, but it's just not forming any heads.
Yeah, and there again, we're seeing that a lot this whole season, especially back in June, was so cool, and we had rain, lots of rain and everything else, and so now with this heat, you'll probably start seeing things forming now with this heat we've had. So probably the next couple of weeks, you'll see the things like even cauliflower, broccoli, kohlrabi, all that kind of stuff will really start forming. You'll notice even at the market gardens, a lot of those heads are smaller right now, and that's because everything's at least 2 weeks behind.
Okay, well, she'll be happy to hear that. Okay, now another question I have is I bought three Calgary, it's called Calgary carpet junipers. It's like small plants that spread out.
Yeah.
One is perfectly healthy green. One has got some yellowing on the edge at the end of the growth, and one has got brown and some of the brown is even in the core of the plant. Am I watering it too much, or should I be giving it iron, or what should I do?
Yeah, when's the last time you fertilized them? Well, you don't know because not your plant.
No, I don't.
You know,
I threw a little bit of 30-10-10, but so minimal that I don't think it affected it.
No, that's good because basically the junipers and evergreens are basically quick growing for the year. So you don't really need to, if you're going to fertilize them now, you don't want to give them very much fertilizer at all because it'd be just enough just to keep them alive. In fact, I'd rather use more like a flowering fertilizer, like a 15-30-15. Rather than a 30-10-10 now if I'm going to do evergreens, okay?
Oh, I hear you, yeah, okay.
Yeah, time of the year.
So do you think that plant that's got I would say half of that third plant that I described, it's still got the greenish, but the other is yellow and brown. Do you think that will survive?
How old are the plants? Do you know them?
I just planted it a little over a year ago. I planted it last May.
Okay, so yeah, if that's the case then, probe the soil, make sure that the moisture is right for them, okay?
Okay.
And that go into the planting hole, to the very bottom of the planting hole, and see what the moisture is like at the bottom of the planting hole. That'll tell you the whole story of why those plants are turning brown at the tips, okay?
Okay. So, I hear you saying about the rebar.
Yeah, because it'll bring a sample up. And you want to go down to the bottom of the planting hole, which is about 12 to 14 inches down, right?
Oh, that deep. Oh, my. Okay.
Absolutely. That's where you want to find out what's going on with the root system of these junipers.
Okay, good enough. Okay, thank you much.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Mike. All right, Mary in Fort... Oh, Mary's not quite ready for us. If you have a question and you want to get it answered nice and quickly, you can give us a call, 1-877-332-8255. You can also send us a text. So we're going to head to the text line right now. This one is from Linda in Regina. Our cucumbers have lots of blooms, but they aren't producing yet. The leaves have leaf mold. What can we do to help them?
Okay, so two things. One thing with your cucumbers you should be doing right now is you should be hand pollinating them. Very important for your cucumber, squash, all that kind of stuff. Hand pollinate them. So take a Q-tip out there and go from flower to flower to flower. Very important. If you're not getting production, you need to hand pollinate them.
Okay.
You'll get way better results. Now, if you're getting the powdery mildew on them, that means you got to really watch because that came from the really hot, humid weather we had. mm-hmm. and it'll all of a sudden pop up, and you need to get control of it. A couple things you can use is you can use any kind of fungicide that has sulfur in it.
Okay. So
there's a whole bunch of them out there. One's just called Garden Sulfur. One's called Garden Defense. There's a whole bunch of them out there. Just check if it has sulfur in there. And the other one you can do is you can actually just mix a little bit, like a 10% milk and basically the rest percent in water. Hmm. And the protein in the milk will help make it go away, too.
Oh, that's interesting.
You can go up to about 20% of milk and the rest of water. And that protein will help make that go away as well.
Cool. That's nice and easy. Something everybody has in their fridge anyway that can
exactly.
help. Exactly. Awesome. All right. We're going to head back to the phone line now. Mary, good morning.
Good morning.
What's your problem?
My problem is on my the little buds on my rose bushes. They don't break off, but they turn down and then they die. And I was wondering, is that an insect?
Are you noticing at the bottom of the flower buds, are you noticing a little hole drilled into the bottom of the bud?
Oh, no, I haven't looked that closely.
Okay, take a look, because most time if they're drying up like that, you have an insect called a weevil. And the weevil drills a hole into the bottom of the bud, and then just sucks all the juice, and then the bud just dries up and falls off.
And that's what they're doing.
Yeah, so take a look. You might probably have a little tiny hole. It's very small. In the bottom, right where the stem meets up into where the bud it is, right at the bottom of the bud.
That's right.
And then check for that. And then if you do that, you'll need to, it's really hard to get them because you almost need to use a dust because they just come in, they fly in and fly out.
Oh.
It's really hard. So you may actually have to use, a crop cover to stop them from coming. But otherwise, you just try spraying them with a product called Ambush. And you need to do it every 10 days.
Ambush, eh? Okay.
Yeah, but spray only spray when the flower when the, if the flowers open up, only spray when the bees are not around. Okay.
Understandable. Late in the evening, then.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, and I have another question about the rose bushes. What about the black spots on quite a number of the leaves? Is there anything I can do for that?
That's a fungal called black spots. Basically, what it is on roses, and you can use there again the products copper sulfate or garden sulfur will work on black spot. There again, it's all because of the hot humid weather. Make sure you do not water over top the leaves. Roses have to be watered at the soil, not over top. So you don't want the sprinklers hitting the leaves if you can. Okay, that's very important, and you won't get that kind of thing.
I understand that because I use the hose and lay it down right on the ground.
Perfect. That's what you need to do. But it's just because of the hot, humid weather we've had.
Mm-hmm. But here it's been hot and dry. We haven't had rain.
Yeah, so but that's what you're going to get, that disease. And then but you can spray it and you can control it.
Very good. And Ambush for the buds then.
That's about the only thing we can use. We used to have some dust we used to be able to put on the roses, the rose dust. They're like Dr. Rose and Deritox and all that kind of stuff. But all those powders are gone. So it's really tough to get the to get those weevils now.
Very good. Thank you very kindly.
Awesome. Okay. Thanks so much, Mary. All right. Before we take a quick break for the news, we are going to answer one more text. This one is from Lori and Chris in Langham. What is the best thing for anthills in the lawn?
The best thing for anthills in the lawn is basically using a product called Ant Be Gone Nematodes.
Okay.
Actually, what you do is you soak the lawn down really well, and then you spray this on, and it's actually another insect that goes after the nest. But you have to read the instructions perfectly because it does not work unless you soak the lawn before you apply it and after you apply it. Because the nest is down quite deep, and you have to make sure that the nematodes need to go through moist soil to get to the nest. They don't go after the adult. They go after the eggs. And so that's why you have to really read the instructions and do it properly.
Yeah, that's a good lesson for basically anything you're going to put on your lawn. Just read the instructions.
That's the biggest reason why all these chemicals are being taken off the market for it, because people don't read the instructions. So think of it as you go to the doctor, you get a prescription. You want to follow the pharmacist's advice of how to take the product to make it work properly for you.
Absolutely.
And no different for any chemicals, fertilizers, anything you put in your garden. Read the instructions.
Perfect. All right. We are going to take a quick break for the news. Give us a call, 1-877-332-8255. I'm Brittany Caffey here with Rick Van Dyvendyke, and you are listening to Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Hope everyone is having an amazing August-long weekend so far. I'm Brittany Caffey here with Rick Van Dyvendyke, answering all of your garden-related questions. You can give us a call at 1-877-332-8255. We are going to chat with Virgil in Saskatoon right now. Good morning, Virgil.
Good morning. Love your show, Rick. A fan of it for quite a while. A couple of quick questions. Got a pinnacle birch, and we're told it would probably be about 6 feet wide and about 20 feet high. We're about 8 feet wide and at least 30 feet. And so I've got some power line that's in the way a bit. And I was wondering, can I prune this a bit and around the lines? And when's the best time to do that? And when do you start and stop fertilizing it?
Okay, great questions, because it's a great time of the year to actually prune birches. Birches need to be pruned in August and September every year, okay? If you're going to do any pruning, that's the 2 months you want to prune them. So birches and maples and pines, now's the time to prune them, okay? So you can prune right now. Yeah, Dakota pinnacle birch will get 9 feet wide and about 35 feet high, okay? That's about their height. If you want, a narrow one is called the Parkland pillar birch, which is only about 6 to 7 feet wide.
One other quick one, string beans. They're growing like crazy and got flowers, but not producing any seed yet.
Yeah, so if you see the flowers, to start hand pollinating. And take a Q-tip and go from plant to plant and cross-pollinate yourself, then you'll get them for sure. Now, you had another question about fertilizing birch trees. Stop fertilizing birch trees July the 1st, okay?
Okay.
Don't fertilize. Okay. Just fertilize during May and June and then stop.
Okay. Sounds great. Thank you for your help. One. Does pinching off the ends of the beans help at all for the plant?
Sometimes it will, because it'll terminate that end. And now, especially because they go so long, right, they want to get going. And then it'll sometimes make them, to stress them enough to get them to start producing the seed, yes.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Thanks so much, Virgil. Have a great rest of your weekend. All right, Connie in Saskatoon, good morning.
Good morning. I have a quick question pertaining to hydrangeas. In the fall, I kept them back. The plant's probably about 5 years old. And there's the odd sort of bloom on them, but not a whole lot. I have fertilized with 21.77?
Yep.
Or is it 17? I didn't fertilize it with the 2020, but more of an acid-loving type fertilizer. What am I doing wrong?
Okay, one thing you want to do is, I like pruning my hydrangeas in the spring. So in the first couple weeks, as soon as the snow disappears in April, prune them right then. So basically in about anywhere between the 1st and the 15th of April is when I like to prune my hydrangeas. I like to, the only thing I'll prune late in the fall is I'll actually just take the heads off so that you don't get a heavy snowfall and bend over the plant so much, because those big brown heads, after the frost gets them, they could bend over the plant because of the weight of the snow. But that's all. The rest of it I don't trim off. And then what I'll do is I'll mulch them, especially depending on the variety of hydrangea you have. I'll mulch them if I'm not getting any snow until the middle of December, basically. Like in last year, we did have some cold temperatures and no snow yet. So hydrangeas do not like that. So if you have some bags of leaves or some mulch around or whatever, if we get snow early, you don't have to worry about it. But if we don't get snow and it's going to go down below minus 18 degrees, then you need to throw some mulch over top of them, because you'll get some damage in December. You'll get damage in the middle of January. You'll get damage in December.
Okay,
start fertilizing around Mother's Day again, and then get them growing, use a high nitrogen fertilizer around Mother's Day, and get them growing, and they should be produced just fine for you.
Yeah. So do they grow on the old wood?
They'll grow on the old wood, but I like pruning them back at least one-third to one-half, because everywhere you prune it off, it'll branch out and have two, and you'll have two sets of flowers, right, from one branch. So that's why I like to prune them a bit. It also stresses them a bit to produce more seed. And so that's why it's important to give them a pruning. But I like doing it again. I like doing it in the spring, because all those branches help catch lots of snow to help protect the plant.
Okay. And when can I, I've got a an ash tree. It needs some love with pruning some branches and such. When can I do that?
Ash trees, you can do that anytime now. Ash trees, anytime between now and basically the beginning of November, you can prune the ash trees. It's not going to hurt them at all. They're basically, most of the ashes now, you notice they're probably set their terminal buds. If they're pushing any new growth, then you don't want to do it. Okay, if you see new growth coming out of the tips yet, don't prune it. Wait a couple weeks yet. But usually it's not a problem with ash now.
Yeah, but ash trees in the city, as you can see, that they're struggling this year.
Yeah, they're struggling this year because they have lots of insects have gone after them, and I think we're starting to see a resurgence of the cottony psyllid again. So you need to keep on top of it. And the ash bugs are out as well. So, and I noticed even the caterpillars have been out. The late caterpillars have been out chewing some of the leaves on the ash as well. So you need to watch the insects and also watch the moisture. Don't be too wet, but don't be too dry with the ash.
Okay. Now, anything that we should be spraying, like with a malathion or anything?
You can use malathion if you have it. Otherwise, I like using, it's a little more safer for people, is ambush. And it takes care of most of the insects as well.
And can you spray now?
As long as it's not above 22 degrees.
Okay. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks, Connie. All right. Let's head out to Swift Current now. Good morning, Lil.
Good morning.
All right. What's your question?
We had a terrible wind this spring. It was plus 70 or 80, and the temperature was over 30, and it cooked all our globules and our cedars, and they're brown and brittle. I cut one off to half, and it was nothing but brittle and whatnot. What else should we do with them? Cut them all down?
If the cedars are totally brown and there's no green, what you can do is you can take your fingernail or a pair of pruners and just scrape the bark. If it's green underneath, they still might come back, okay? But if they're yellow or brown underneath, then they're not going to come back anymore. And you can just prune right down to where you still see green. But if they're that
I cut one down to half, and there was nothing there except brittle needles.
Yeah,
and
no, it won't come back. You're probably going to have to replant.
I guess all Swift Current will have to do that because everyone in Swift Current has it.
Yeah, no, they probably took the damage last winter already. So that's where they took the damage, and you'll start seeing the damage in June, what happened the previous winter. So they probably had a bad Chinook in Swift Current, you know, where warm temperatures came up, especially in March, and that's what gets them. If you get warm temperatures in March or the first week of April, you should put some burlap around them to shade them, and then you'll stop that from happening.
So I blamed it on the wind and the sun.
Yeah, but it happens in March and the first week of April when the ground is still frozen and the sun is getting warmer. And then especially if you get a wind, it'll basically desiccate the needles. And if that's the time of the year, not January, it's March and the first week of April where you need to shade them.
Okay.
Okay.
We'll try that. If not, I guess we'll cut them all down then.
Yep. Okay.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Good luck, Lil. All right, we are going to take a quick break, and we will be right back to do some more talking about gardens. I'm Brittany Caffey here with Rick Van Dyvendyke, and you are listening to Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Happy Sunday. Happy August long weekend. I'm Brittany Caffey here with Rick Van Dyvendyke, and we are going to head right out to Delisle and chat with Ron. Good morning, Ron. Ron, are you there?
Hello.
Hi, what's your question for Rick?
Hello.
Hello. Hi, Ron, can you hear us?
Hello.
All right, Ron, I'm going to throw you back on hold, and we are going to head out to Choiceland and chat with Tom. Good morning, Tom.
Hi there.
What's your question?
Well, my question is like we got a couple ditches like around our garden a bit, so you know we kind of spray Roundup to kill the thistles and everything there, but then now like there's some little green, there's some kind of weed I never seen them before. They're really small and they're green leafy things, and then we're getting moss there too.
Well, if you're getting moss, that means it must be a little bit moister area. Your soil must be a little bit moist. Now, if it's the green leafy, do you know what does it look like? Does it look like a reed type of a weed, or is it actually leafy weed?
You have to look really close because then you see that it's got, that it's a leafy little green
green spot.
If you have a wet soil, you could be having the weed in there that likes more soil, and it's a really hard one to kill. You have to use, basically the only thing that works on it is a Roundup, but with a little bit with about you'd almost have to go to what the instructions say of how much to put in. You have to go 1.25, so 1 1/4 strength, stronger to get them.
Okay, because we just sprayed to control the thistles and the other weeds in there, right? And then this stuff started growing.
Yeah, that's because it's moist soil and it likes the moist soil, because you said you had moss, right?
Yeah.
So also cultivate that areas of the soil to dry up the soil, and the weeds, those type of weeds won't like that if it's drier. So even cultivate the soil a little bit between the plants.
Uh-huh.
And just to dry, get rid of that moss and dry the soil up. That'll help a lot as well.
And then, just go a little stronger with the Roundup, you figure, in them ditches, right?
Just a little bit, not too much more, okay?
Okay.
Yep.
Thank you very much.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Tom. You too. All right. Ron and Delisle, what's your question?
I have about 250 Okanese poplar trees, and the leaves are turning black. Well, there's some at the stages of brown, but some of them are turning completely black and falling off. What can I spray with, or is there anything at this time of year?
With Okanese, there could be a couple of things that could be happening. One is, if you ever pulled any of the leaves down and take a close look at them, are they hollow in the layers of the leaf, do you think?
Well, I got some in front of me now.
Yeah, two things that follow, like Okanese.
They're turning crispy,
yeah.
And there does look like maybe little veins in them, like white streaks. I mean, is it a bug in there, or a larva, or?
What there can be, I mean, but it doesn't usually affect the whole tree. Is a leaf miner, and they eat the whole inside. They eat the chloroform out of the inside of the plant, and a lot of times you'll just leave black left. If you peel open the leaf, you'll see all the little droppings inside the two layers of leaf. Okay, then you'll know you have what's called a leaf miner. But the other one could be is you could have a disease come through. But Okanese is a newer variety and is fairly disease resistant. And but you said it turned black, right?
They're hybrid trees, so they're supposed to be resistant to this.
Yeah, they are. They are one of the last releases from PFRA before they closed down.
Right.
And so that was Sundancer and a couple other ones. So. But usually what will happen is there's two things that will cause that. One is the insect, okay? The other one is a disease, but usually I don't see that many diseases on Okanese right now. And the other one would be just is something happening at the roots. Because if you got a spray on them, they wouldn't turn black. They would just actually turn brown if you had a spray on them, okay?
Right.
Like if they got hit by a drift or something from a field. Okay?
Uh-huh.
But usually that's not the case. It's probably, I would check the inside of the leaf and just check whether you're, and just Google what a leaf miner looks like, and then you can see what a leaf miner looks like and what it'll do to the poplars. I have a feeling that's probably what you have. But if you do have that,
to spray with?
There's no insecticide for leaf miners. Okay? It's the whole plant is brown, is black, it's not good. The tree will set its buds for next year. But if it happens multiple years in a time, you'll lose your plants.
Right. Yeah, this is the second year. I mean, last year wasn't bad, but this year is pretty near every tree.
Yeah, I would suggest to bring a sample into the garden centers, and then they can we can actually take a closer look at it to actually diagnose what it actually is.
Okay, real good. Okay, thanks.
Thanks, Ron. All right, Doris out in Abbey. Good morning.
Good morning. I've got a problem with dandelions in my yard. They're in my grass around the barnyard and all over the place, and I've sprayed them with Killax twice, and it hasn't killed them. And the ones down the lane where it's not going to bother the grass, I've sprayed them with Roundup, and they're not dying either. So are they becoming resistant to those two?
Yeah, you got a really tough dandelion. What I would suggest is switch your rather than using something with a 2,4-D in it, switch to a herbicide that has iron. Their main base is iron. Okay.
Iron.
Iron.
Iron. Yeah.
Yeah, and use that. And there's some herbicides out there that's more safe for the environment. First of all. But also if you build up resistance on your dandelions, the iron will burn them off. That'll work really well for you.
Okay.
Go by the instructions. Don't take your chemicals and go twice as strong. Okay.
Well, I follow the directions on the Kill-X.
Perfect.
And it didn't even fizz on them.
What you can do is next year, when the plants, you can try using a product called Bio Weed and Feed, which is a corn gluten. It won't kill the dandelions that are already established, but it'll stop the new seeds from germinating and stop them from producing more dandelions. But you cannot use that in the garden. You can only use it in the flower beds, shrub beds, and the lawn.
Okay. Can you put that on in the fall?
No, it's best to put that on in the spring, actually. That's the best time, not in the fall.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, they're getting to be a problem all along our roadsides. It's just terrible. And I mean, the farmers are using all these chemicals, and it's not killing the dandelions.
Yeah, so you probably got some that are getting resistant. So what you want to do is put the corn, as soon as the dandelions come into flower next spring, put the corn gluten down, okay?
Okay.
And that'll stop new ones from coming.
Do the garden centers carry that?
Yep. Any place you can buy them at garden centers. You can buy them at the chain stores. You can get like Home Depot, Rona, all that kind of stuff. You have hardware stores. Bio Weed and Feed, and a couple different companies make it. And it's called, the main ingredient is a natural product. It's called corn gluten.
I'll look for it then.
Yep. Okay.
Thank you. But
you have to put it on according to the instructions. Otherwise, it won't work.
Okay.
Awesome. Okay. Thanks so much, Doris. All right, Rick, that's all we've got time for today. I hope you have a great rest of the long weekend.
Yeah, same with you. Beautiful weather. Everybody get out there, enjoy their, and watch your watering. That's the big thing I can tell everybody with this heat.
Definitely. All right, I'm Brittany Caffey here with Rick Van Dyvendyke, and you were listening to Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME.